In recent times, there have been numerous studies that have pointed to a trend that Americans as a group give up privacy and security for convenience. Unless you think that I am immune, I assure you that I am not. I'm willing and able. For example, it took a long time for me to start making purchases on the internet before I simply gave in. I was suspicious mainly because I was in the info security business and I knew what could go wrong. The reason I gave in was that it was way more convenient to shop online than to get into a car, battle traffic, travel to some specific store, only to find out that what I wanted was out of stock. Using various shopping websites made it all that much easier. But what did I concede for that privilege? I handed over not just my name, address, and telephone number, but also my credit card number, the expiration date, and that little security code on the back. And to make matters worse, it was far more convenient to have all that information stored with the merchant so I didn't have to enter it each time I visited that site. Perfect for someone to steal my identity and make my life a financial hell. Sound familiar? Like I said, I was in the info security business, so I should know better. But there's this adage, time is money, and it was easier to compromise my privacy in order to gain back my time. Despite knowledge in this area, I, like millions of other Americans, blindly assented to this system. In other words, we gave up something for what we thought was convenience. Technology doesn't always usher in positive things. Of late, there has been an increased awareness of the dangers of science and technology, not just in our ability to shop, but in everything we do and consume. For instance, the use of pesticides and genetically modified organisms enables our society to get whatever we want, whenever we want, whether or not it was meant to be. Many of us have become keenly aware of these unnatural and perhaps unsafe methods, the detrimental effects on our bodies and that of our children. And as such, it has sprouted an industry of organic foods across the entire spectrum, from fruits, vegetables, and grains to dairy and meat products. And while it is unlikely that we'll grow an extra head or an arm, we're scared that there could be some risk of cancer or other debilitating disease. Now, for economic reasons, there will always be people attracted to the lowest priced foods. But walk down any neighborhood in a 20-mile radius and you'll find Whole Foods, Andronico's, Trader Joe's, all touting their emphasis on organic goods. And just so they aren't left behind, Safeway and Raley's and a myriad of others have also gotten into the game with specific organic departments or brands devoted to an organic, healthy lifestyle. In other words, we are concerned for our health and we take steps to achieve it. But sometimes we give it up for what we think is convenience. This week marks the anniversary of the issuance of Pope Paul VI's encyclical, Humanae Vitae. It came as a significant event to cap a tumultuous decade, the 1960s. And today, many people merely hear the words Humanae Vitae, and they get more than just a little emotional. Now, I'm not here to address the whethers or whether nots of contraception. A 10 to 15 minute homily on that isn't going to change anyone's mind one way or another. But what has been perhaps lacking is the pastoral education on the subject. Now, let's just take the teachings of the church out of the equation and just deal with health issues. What is the most common form of contraception in the United States? According to those that track these things, it's the pill. Now let's get real. The pill is not a medicine that makes women healthier. The natural response of a woman's body to sexual activity, all things being equal, is to bear children. It is a biological fact. The pill changes the woman's natural function by introducing chemicals and hormones into her system. And as with all drugs, the FDA mandates that manufacturers list the possible side effects, including things like blood clots, heart attacks, and strokes. Clearly not natural. Of course, there's still a debate whether or not there's an association with certain forms of breast cancer, so any statement from me would be without authority. But consider this. If animals injected with hormones to make food more readily available somehow bothers us, then why wouldn't we object to the very same type of treatment on our own bodies? The answer is simple. Like in my previous example, we're giving it up for the thought of convenience. But before you object, recall that I'm not speaking about the teachings of the church. I'm just talking about basic health. That said, I'm going to shift my discussion to the alternative, one that is being embraced, by the way, by many people, even those who aren't Catholics and who have no knowledge of the teachings of the church. They are simply done by those who are indeed concerned for their health. The method that has the least number of drugs involved, actually none, yet still allows for full intimacy, is NFP, natural family planning. Certainly, non-Catholics have come to realize its non-invasive benefits to avoid having children. And for us Catholics, the church has promoted NFP as an alternative to contraception. But in my opinion, it hasn't been all that successful in getting the message out. And that's because that's not what NFP is about. If it were, then we might as well chalk it up to another form of contraception, which, of course, the church frowns on. NFP is way more than that. It is a way for a husband and wife to fulfill their wedding vows in a beautiful, selfless way. It is for this reason that our Bishop Jaime Soto has asked us to increase the awareness of NFP in our parish. NFP allows a wife to discover much more about her body than ever before. It has to, because in order to actually use it, she must observe all the minute changes in her body throughout any given month. And furthermore, her husband isn't just a bump on a log, waiting for her to be available or not, as it were. He must be ever sensitive to her signals, both spoken and unspoken. He cannot do so without being intimately involved. In doing so, they become keenly aware of each other's needs, without drugs, without chemicals, and without anything artificial. It, in a way, is the organic alternative in a society that insists on using chemicals to get you whatever you want, whenever you want. It certainly is not the easiest path or the quickest fixed path to take. And many Americans simply want to take a pill and be done with it for whatever issue approaches them. But with NFP, this just isn't so. It's sometimes clumsy and requires work, observation, and respect, and also an awareness of when an opportunity arises and when one doesn't. Does it mean that there will be times of disappointment and frustration? Of course, everything we do is susceptible to that. But it also means that the times of joy are not just physiologically there, but also mentally and spiritually. It is precisely what is meant that two become one. Not physically one, but physically and spiritually. Some people might mock this as if the physical expression automatically brings in the spiritual, such as in ecstasy. But this simply is not true. Whenever there is an unprepared partner, you may seem to be spiritually one, but if the other partner doesn't feel the same, then clearly it cannot be. Now, John Paul II once stated that the problem of pornography in our society is not that it reveals too much about human relationships in a sexual manner, but on the contrary, it doesn't reveal enough. Sexual relations is not merely a physical interaction between a man and a woman, but is a product or realization of the love and selfless giving that each person brings to the relationship. Pornography shows a lot of the former, but shows nothing of the latter. And if it tries, in the end, it is just acting. It is not real. It is an illusion. Couples wanting to strengthen their relationships should seek to know each other better. There are few better ways to do this than NFP. A husband will be less likely to treat his wife as an object, and a wife is less likely to feel compelled to be available to the unconcerned whims and desires of her husband. They must work together to be that single body that is so expressive of God's plan for us. Knowledge of each other at this intimate level strengthens the bond in ways that cannot be duplicated elsewhere. And it is for this reason that the Church promotes NFP. Can the regulation of birth be a byproduct of NFP? Yes, absolutely. Would it be the main reason why Catholics would do it? Not by a long shot. Today's gospel tells us that we're all like sheep in one big flock. We have a social mentality that causes us to make decisions according to what is convenient, to the extent that we can sacrifice things like our privacy or even our health. We say and want one thing, but we act and do otherwise. We have been shepherdless. We have been led astray. But Jesus is our shepherd, and he loves and cares for us. So what did Jesus do to the flock? He sat down and taught them. Do you think that he would teach them something that was bad for them? No. He is God, and we know by our theology that he loves us. And every Christian, even those who are not Catholic, knows this. God is love, and he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. We should listen to him and his appointed successors. Do you think that it is a mere coincidence that the head of a parish is called a pastor? A pastor takes care of his flock. Sometimes he sends his dogs in to help corral us in a certain way, nipping at our heels and nudging us forward. But he does so out of concern for our safety and well-being, and not out of any malice.